gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, and I always welcome you. I'm happy to have you, and this is a show of honest discernment and facts and truth. I'm going to give you a little background about myself. I'm a Christian, and I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. I also, not only am a Christian, but this is a politically incorrect show. It is a show in which political correction is not the goal. The goal is honesty and truth. And we eschew and reject media lies, media falsehoods, and political rhetoric of any kind. We're after honest discernment and getting at the facts and truth. Also, I run two radio shows, a podcast show, and this Blog Talk radio show, which is visited by many countries all over the world, particularly Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, etc. And over 4,300 people have visited my podcast show in the past few years from 77 countries. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books. Three of them are Christian books, and I have just published. I'm publishing another three more Christian books very soon. And I've also written over 600 blogs, which all have a Christian orientation, or are visited by many people all over the world, particularly from Muslim countries in China. Tonight, this show often focuses on theological issues and legal issues and literature and current events in politics. And I will be talking about today and tonight the issue of the body and the flesh in Christianity, because there's a misconception the Christian faith is opposed to the physical or the body and flesh, or better put, is against sex. It's true there is something of an emphasis on virginity in our faith, since Christ was born of a virgin. And since then, various religious orders have been organized, at least in the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church, involving vows of celibacy, poverty, and obedience. There is a view that the Christian faith goes to the body and the flesh, I don't think it is, but I have to admit there's an emphasis on virginity and celibacy, since Christ was a virgin. And since then, many religious orders have been organized, at least in the Orthodox Church and Roman Catholic Church, involving vows of celibacy, poverty, and obedience. So some people drew the conclusion from this that the Christian religion is anti-sex, and that there's a common idea following this that when we die, we will be flitting like some sort of invisible gods, in some sort of metaphysical world. But I'm going to clear up this misconception that the church is anti-sex and anti-woman, and in fact, when we die, the view of the church is that we have resurrected bodies. This is the beginning point of understanding the church is not anti-body and anti-flesh and anti-sex and anti-woman. These ideas are erroneous. First of all, there's the significant fact that of the incarnation of Christ into human flesh and human body. The idea is that a pre-existing Christ took on human flesh combined with his Godhead in the person of Jesus. And you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that our concept of God and of Christ in his birth into a human body, there could be no more greater affirmation of bodily humanity and sexuality than the fact that our living God, Jesus Christ, affirms the body and the flesh and sex, that God took upon himself to become a full human being with all the attendant feelings I've just referred to. And this is the key to understanding the church is not anti-sex and anti-woman and anti-physicality, that Jesus took on human flesh and human body in the person of Jesus, and this doctrine puts to doubt any doubts on the subject. The Christian God and our faith so affirms the body and the flesh and sexual feelings that God himself took it upon himself to become a full human being with all those feelings involved. And I can't think of any other religion in which God chose to take on human flesh and thereby affirm humanity, bodily being, of course, sexuality. So we have to understand that God in Christ came from heaven, that's our thinking and our doctrine, and took on a body and the flesh and sexual feelings and took it upon himself to become a full human being with all these physical attributes I just spoke of. And I can't think of any other religion in which God chose to take on humanity and so affirm humanity and bodily being and, of course, sex. And of course, I don't think only a very limited person would say that Jesus had no sexual feelings since he was fully human. So this is the key, that the Christian faith affirms the body and the flesh 100%. The second argument against the otherworldly character of Christianity, with the emphasis on virginity, celibacy, and certain religious orders, is that Christianity holds that Christ, another aspect of the affirmation of the physical and the flesh and the body in our faith, with even though there's an emphasis on virginity and celibacy in certain religious orders, Christianity holds that Christ rose from the dead with a physical body and is in heaven with a continuous physical body. He did not come out of the grave like some sort of ghost or spirit, but came out with a body, a physical body. Once again, we are faced with the glaring fact that the risen Christ has a body and, in fact, resides in heaven with a body. And so the misconception that Christianity is an otherworldly, anti-flesh, anti-physical, anti-sex religion is belied by this extremely significant historical event. Jesus rose from the dead with a body and presently has a human body in his risen form. This is a second key to understanding that Christianity, and it is a misconception that it is otherworldly, anti-flesh, and anti-physical, anti-sex, is belied by this significant historical event. Finally, there's the view, in fact, this is the third point, that Christians believe at some point we will, like Christ, we will be given the chance to rise again with a resurrection of the body. And once again, the resurrection of the body as a doctrine and dogma not only says we'll come out of the grave like some sort of ghost, flitting ghost, which is not going to be what it's like, but with a body, in fact, our own body in life. This is the extreme third key to understanding that Christianity is not an anti-flesh, anti-body, anti-sex faith. Number one, Jesus became a man with a human body and human feelings, and sexual feelings even. Number two, that he rose from the dead with a physical body. And number this is God, we believe, has a physical body, a human body. This is not a faith that defeats and it opposes the flesh and sexuality. And third, that we will be given the chance to rise again with a human body. We will not be some sort of ghost floating around, but we will be with a human body we had in life. So I think this little essay has cleared up certain misconceptions about the Christian faith by those who are articulated by these who do not know or understand or care to understand these doctrines. There is no other religion that better affirms the flesh, humanity, and sexuality than the Christian religion. God created, in the first instance, physical beings, men and women. He himself affirmed that creation. Not only did he create men and women with physical bodies, but he affirmed that creation by taking on human flesh with all its feelings, senses, and limitations. We believe, the Christian religion believes, that the God rose from the dead with a body and presently occupies a body in heaven. And the Christian religion articulates the dogma that we will rise from the dead, not as spirits, but with bodies continuous and connected to the bodies we had in life. Best of my knowledge, I can think of no other religion that affirms the flesh and sexuality and physicality than the Christian religion, for the reasons I gave you, that he created men and women, that he became a man, God came down from heaven and came a man and had sexual feelings and physicality, that he rose from the dead with a body and has a presently, we believe, has a body in heaven, a human body. Third, that men and women, we believe, not will be resurrected as flitting ghosts, but as with people with their same body they had in life. I do not think of any other religion that has raised the status of the physical and sexual and flesh than the Christian religion. I want to add one other point here, that Christianity has always raised the status of women in society. I'll give you the reasons. Christ was born of a woman. A God, our God, that rules in heaven, was born of a woman. Many of his followers were women. And that was very unusual, because that was a patriarchal society in the Jewish society in Palestine. Yet Jesus' followers, a number of them were women. And it was women that were initially found at the empty tomb. So women had a very close relationship to Christ. And the Genesis account of creation presents males and females as created with equal sexual feelings. And the key here is that God, who is a spirit, wishes to have a relationship with human beings, with bodies and bodily feelings. Yes, God is a spirit, but Jesus is in heaven with the human body. But God wishes to have a relationship with our humanity, with our bodies and our bodily feelings and our flesh. And so Christianity, far from being an otherworldly, outer space religion, is a religion very much connected with this flesh, time, and physical being. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk that has cleared up some misconceptions. And it's always good to know the facts and the truth, and to get rid of the misconceptions and lies that the world would have us believe about many things which are not so. I enjoyed this talk, and I may hit it again tomorrow night a little bit. It's nice talking to you, and I hope you've heard what I've had to say. Bye.